you say, please don't make me do that. Don't make me do that. Then you, that man takes out a gun on you and says, shoot him or I'll shoot you. So you end up shooting him. Did you do it because you wanted to? No. You are not responsible. They forced you to do it. Agreed? Right. So what happens to our hands? We apply the same rule to our fingers. The finger is telling you, don't use me to eat this, please. I don't know. I don't want to burn in the fire. Don't use me. Don't you dare use me. And you impose it with a gun on your fingers and say, hey, I'm taking you. Why? That gun is your soul. Your soul is your choice. You think you own the body. Wallahi, these bodies we have don't belong to us. Wallahi al-azim. They belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The choice is ours, whether we want to use these bodies in the right direction or the wrong direction. The Quran says it clearly, that on the day of Qiyamah, these organs that you thought were yours will bear witness against you. If they were really yours, they would never bear witness against you. And there are several verses in the Quran in that regard, including in Surah Yasin. Allah says, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The exact issue I was talking about. Allah says, on that day, we will seal their mouths. Their hands will speak to us and their legs will talk to us, bear witness against them as to what they used to earn. Earn. كَسَبَ يَكْسِبُ means to earn. So, the earnings of your hand will bear witness against you to say, this was robbery. This is what it was. This man used me to consume haram. May Allah protect us. This man imposed on his family members to eat haram. Because we are the ones who put the plate of food in front of our wives and children. They are innocently eating. If you were having say for example, a drink of water that was spiked intentionally by a family member of yours, and you then suffered as a result, whose fault it is? Whose fault is it? Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So the hands are cursing us, but we entrap the hands and force it upon the fingers to actually put it into the mouth. As it is going through the lips are cursing us. Please don't put this through me. It might appear to be rice. It might appear to be biryani. But it's haram. It's not allowed. Then what happens? The tongue has enzymes. The enzymes are cursing us. The tongue is cursing us. It goes in. We are chewing. The teeth are cursing us. What do you want those teeth to do? Now you end up at the dentist and you want to spend money on your teeth. Those are the same teeth that will bear witness against you on the day of Qiyamah. You've been chewing haram. May Allah protect us. And I'm talking about food which we do not even think of, that it could be haram. Why? Because of the way it was earned. The way it came to the plate. How did it find itself here? And then we take a look further. Let's go deeper than that. It goes through the esophagus. Such a sophisticated organ. Subhanallah. The contraction and expansion of that results in the digestion or the downward movement of the food. Subhanallah, in little morsels. And yet with every contraction we are cursed. With every expansion we are cursed. And the food is going down. Then listen to what happens. Wallahi, it is deep and it is serious. Then it goes into the rest of the system. The small intestine, the big intestine, it gets right out of the rectum. And even the rectum is cursing. Allahu Akbar. All the organs of the body are cursing us. But what is worse than that, is that the nutrients that have now become a part of our bodies through that haram are with us forever. Do you know what the hadith says? فَالْجَنَّةُ عَلَيْهِ حَرَامٌ وَالنَّارُ أَوْلَى بِهِ. Any portion of meat that has grown, any part of the body that has been a result of haram intake, haram ingestion, will never ever enter Jannah. It needs to go into Jahannam to burn out of your system first. Then only you can go into Jannah. That's how far it goes. Which means, you've eaten it, the minerals that came out of it. The oxygenated blood from the liver that came out. Now the liver is contaminated, the kidneys are contaminated. The blood is contaminated. What happens thereafter? Everything is contaminated. Now your eyes are contaminated because the oxygenated blood circulates through your system. When you look shamelessly. You see a woman on the street, you're not supposed to look at the fact that you've been already fed by haram. Your thinking is haram. Your eyes are haram. You end up looking there whether you like it or not. It's to do with your food. You've eaten wrong. Haram place, automatically you start walking there. And you tell yourself, but I didn't want to do it. Correct your eating habits. Make sure you eat halal. Automatically, inshallah, that will help itself. If you are concerned about your food, that is why the biggest stressing in the Quran is for food and drink. Subhanallah, after those pillars of Islam. So many verses Allah says in the Quran, there is a whole surah called the laid tablecloth, a whole surah called the cattle, a whole surah called the cow, Allahu Akbar, a whole surah regarding the bee and the honey and so on, and how pure it is. So many times Allah mentions fish, so many times He mentions about not deceiving and not cheating and not stealing and not conning and conniving and so on. May Allah protect us. Now what happens? Everything we do is haram. The way we smell is haram. The way we taste is haram. When you want to listen, what do you now listen to? You listen to all the music. Why? You will justify it to say there's nothing wrong with this because your whole thinking is gone. It's contaminated with haram. This is nothing. It's minor. That's what we say. Why? Because we cannot think really. Because our morsels, we don't even know where they came from. May Allah forgive us all and grant us a new beginning. Really, myself included. We don't even know sometimes what we are eating. It is reported regarding some of the ulama of old, that whenever they used to go to someone's house whom they knew his piety and income, they ate more. Why? Because they knew this person is very pious, let's eat from their food, so inshallah we will achieve barakah, because they had it in a proper way. And they earned it in a proper way. May Allah grant us just the ability to think about what is being said today. Now if we take a look deeper than that, let's go to the Quran. What does the Quran say about eating interests? Do you know what it says? What did I tell you moments ago? I told you that they can't think straight. Why? Because the oxygen that went into the brain was formed by that which was completely haram. Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. Allah says, those who eat haram, those who eat interest, Allah says, they do not behave in any other way than the behavior of a person who is totally possessed and mad. They do not behave in any other way besides the behavior of one who is possessed by the devil. الشَّيْطَانُ يَتَخَبَّطُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. As though the devil has turned them upside down by his possession. May Allah grant us understanding. So we need to think of this very carefully. When a person eats haram, it affects their brain, their capacity to think. This is why sometimes you might find a person appearing to be highly intellectual, but, and a big but, you try to explain to them something very, very simple about the deen, they fail to understand. They will debate, they will argue, they will prove their point, they will try to prove their point. Why? Wallahi ya akhi, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time. If you are telling someone salah is farad and they are telling you, no, you only have to read 2 or 3 salah, wallahi, you can turn the world upside down. You won't succeed. You only need to just try and carry on. Sometimes the brain is so contaminated, the Quran says they behave like people who are totally possessed. There's the verse, I read it for you. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the contamination of the entire system, the pollution of the whole universe and all its inhabitants if they were to eat haram. Today we are worried about the ozone layer. We are worried about gas emissions. We are not worried about spiritual carbon monoxide that is depleting the ozone of Jahannam, which is making it bigger and bigger with more and more inhabitants. May Allah protect us all. Really, that's what's going on today. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a firm understanding. Because if you look at the degradation of the ummah today, and you look at how they are earning money, Today, everything is about money. People will sell their parents. They will sell their children, their brothers and sisters just to get a few rands. Where did they get this from? Haram income, somewhere down the line. Contamination, somewhere down the line. It's like a swine flu. May Allah protect us. And it is something so serious that no matter how much we speak about it, it will not be enough. We need to make sure that we are earning halal. And we make an effort to earn. Imagine in business. Allahu Akbar. You have a business. Your business is a brilliant halal business. You are selling that which is halal. You don't cheat. You don't deceive. The hadith speaks about those type of people and still encourages you to drop the price slightly. Make your profit margin smaller. Do you know why? The hadith says there'll be more barakah because you are helping more people. Rahimallahu imri'in samhan idha ba'a samhan idha ishtara. Allah will have mercy upon a buyer who is considerate of the seller when selling or when buying. Allah will have mercy upon a seller who is considerate of the buyer when he is selling. And a buyer who is considerate of the seller when buying. Each one is trying to make sure that the other one goes away saying this was a good deal. They give you dua. That dua with a small amount is better than a big amount where people go back with the goods. I'm not saying it's haram. But it's void of the mercy. Allah's dua is not exactly on that. In the sense that something is for 100 rands and you sell it for 1,000 rands to a person who's rich. No problem. The deal might be halal if they are both parties are happy. But what might happen is the person might curse you later on. Something might go wrong with that item and he says, look, this man ripped me off. Even if they say it once, one day he might pass another supermarket, another store, and he says, I bought it for 1,000, here it's for 200 rand. He says, no, that man, Allah must fix him up. That dua is enough to destroy your children, believe me. May Allah protect us. Why do we want that? We are Muslims. We must be business people who are upright, who think of the others, not only ourselves. Don't worry. You don't have to drive the Mercedes and everything like the Joneses. May Allah protect us. We need barakah, we need happiness. Even if we are having little 1960 old vehicles, may Allah protect us. No problem. We ask Allah's barakah and mercy. And this is why we need to go back to our roots and see where we come from. We are Muslimin. We are an ummah that is not supposed to be greedy. We are an ummah that is only supposed to be greedy for spirituality. Whenever there is a good deed, we need to go there. Why can't we think the same way we think for business, for our deen? Business dealing, we sit and we think anything. I want to do this, I want to do that. Yes, let me do that. Let me convince this man to do that. Let me convince him to come and meet me. Let me try and sell this to him, sell that to him. You have a lecture in your masjid. Try and sell it to your children, your own children. Become a salesman for the sake of Allah. You have, for example, an Islamic program. Whether it is on any form of media, something beneficial, sell it to your own kids to start off with. Then sell it to your friends and tell Allah, Ya Allah, help me and to be from amongst those who becomes very, very passionate when it comes to my religion. In the true sense. And let's do something about it. A talk of this nature really should make me think and ponder over the depth of this issue. Because believe me, when we get to the Quran, one is you read about halal and haram. But secondly, derive from the Quran and the Sunnah lessons as to what the effects are of eating haram. What happens? And today I've shown you very little. To be honest with you, it's a tip of the iceberg. What happens? If you sit properly, it will really make you scared and worried. Look at the condition of the ummah. What's going on? And then ask yourself, what's happening to the Muslims? Everyone who's got money, they want to rush to do deals in Dubai. And here and there, we are not saying that's haram, but ask the ulama, what you're engaging in, is it permissible or not? Half the time it's not even allowed, and we don't even know. Half the time there is a clean-cut hadith which tells you that the particular item you are trying to achieve is completely prohibited, and we don't even know. So it's important we get advice, and we know what's halal and haram, where are we working, how are we getting money? This is what the Prophet ﷺ says. He speaks about the people who are buying and selling. And he says, if they are truthful and make everything clear, فَإِنْ صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. If they are honest and open and truthful, and they don't hide anything from the party who is buying, then Allah will grant barakah for both of them. You got a car, you are selling it. Don't say, look, foot stoots. Yes, that's a way of doing it. But tell them, listen brother, I just changed the clutch plate here. And you know, I had a problem with the radiator. But otherwise, it's a brilliant car. MashaAllah, this is the price I want. Wallahi, the day they find those two problems, they will think to themselves, I was warned about it. But you lied, they drove it away, they paid you, and then something goes wrong and they are stuck on the M5, they begin to curse you. Hey, this man cheated me, may Allah fix him up. That's enough, you're destroyed. That is why the same hadith carries on and it says, وَإِن كَذَبَا وَكَتَمَا مُحِقَتْ بَرَكَةُ بَيْعِهِمَا. Allahu Akbar. If they lie to each other, and they keep things away from each other regarding the deal, and then they struck a deal, Allah snatches away the barakah from that deal. Gone. Subhanallah, we are Muslims. This deen is powerful. If we follow this deen properly, wallahi, I tell you, the world will accept Islam. How did Islam go into Southeast Asia, Indonesia and those countries? Wallahi, through upright business people, look at what happened to them. When their income was halal, when their mannerisms and etiquettes were proper, when they were following the sunnah, they did not have to tell people accept Islam like what we do today. They just had to deal with them. When people saw that these people are so straight, the man is selling me something and telling me how bad that item is. Allahu Akbar. He sells you dates and he says, look, these are a little bit rotten. You might get a smell here at the back. Allahu Akbar. The bottom of the bag, you might get a smell. They look shocked. What? This man is telling me what's wrong with his dates. If it was someone else, he would have just put the good dates at the top. You come out, you see, hey, mashallah, very nice, give me the whole bag. You take the bag, the first layer is good, the rest of it is bad. A lot of people do this. You want to sell your car, first thing you do, valet. What does a valet do? It's a cosmetic action. It clears the outside of the car. The engine is what is more important. You can have an upside down wheelbarrow, but if that thing is going to last, alhamdulillah, that is the purpose of the mode of transport being achieved. May Allah protect us. So the hadith says, we will snatch away the barakah from a deal that is halal. The item purchased and sold was halal, but there was deceiving in it. What type of deceiving? You didn't tell them what was wrong and you knew something that was wrong. You're selling a house and you didn't tell them about the burst pipes or about how old the structure is and there's some very big flaw, very big mistake when it comes to the architecture of the house and it's about to collapse. The architects have given it only 2 years and mashallah, you're collecting 3 million rands for the house. What type of barakah are you going to have? Where are you going to spend that money? The next house you buy with it will be cursed from the beginning to the end. May Allah protect us. Why? The money you got was through deceiving someone else. 2 years down the line, when the cracks begin to appear in that previous house, what will happen? They will curse you from the beginning to the end. Wallahi, if you could, you would go back to them and give them 6 million rands to say, please withdraw that dua, the evil dua that you made against me. Please, I've seen so much evil in my life. Why? We are spiritual people. We don't want to see that type of a mess in our lives. Don't we want happiness and joy? Why are marriages breaking left, right and center? A lot of it is to do with income. The very walima. The walima itself. Let me explain to you. And we are not being too hard and strict. Wallahi, a spade is a spade. As I said last night. We will call a spade a spade. We do not call it a big spoon. No. Even if it looks like one. When we have a walima, what are we doing? We are celebrating half of our iman. That's much more than salah. One salah is not half of your iman. One salah is a portion. But we are celebrating half of our iman. And the function, subhanallah, the women are dressed as though they've come to a nightclub to celebrate half of your iman. What type of barakah do you want in your children who are resultant from that walima? May Allah forgive us. I told you it's never too late. Because some of us must be scratching our heads and saying, hey, I had a function just like that. It's not too late. Engage in tawbah. Engage in tawbah and Allah will forgive you. And inshallah, try and work on your children now. If you've already got children. If you don't really have them yet, you are lucky. May Allah protect us. That is the depth of it. And I know it's something very, very sensitive that I've just said. Because the issue of halal income needs to be spoken about. Many people are just throwing in the money. And they just enslave themselves for the rand and the dollar and so on. This person sees a US dollar, there is a different chord that is struck in his belly. And he wants it by hook or crook. May Allah protect us. Why? It's called a greenback. Allahu Akbar. It will make your back green as well. Yes, that's what's going on today. So we need to understand, if that walima is to be done, treat it as though it is definitely what it is. And what is that? Celebration of half of your iman. Have the Quran, have a sheikh, have an alim, separate your crowd, have people who are told that please write it in your card, please dress Islamically, we are celebrating half of our iman. I still would like to see that happening. I would like to see one card of a wedding where they are saying there, for the walima, please dress in proper Islamic garb, we are celebrating half of our iman, we would like barakah. So many people, they email me and they tell me, you know, we'd like to write a nice caption on our wedding card. Please give us a bit of a guideline as to what to put. When you tell them this, they've never ever done it. Not one. Why? Tell them it's half of your iman. Wallahi, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make myself and yourselves more conscious of how we treat these walimas. I was about to say, don't worry. If you didn't do it in the first walima, you can do it in the second. But then I thought to myself, I don't want to open a can of worms. Really. Because the men will be laughing and the women will be weeping. What is this man trying to achieve? So let's not say that. You know, that's a way of doing it. You say it and then you say, let's not say it. So you've given your message, but then you quickly delete it. Like they say with Gmail now, after you've sent your mail, you have an option for a few seconds to actually get it back. May Allah protect us. It's a quick way of doing things. So the reality is, inshallah, I hope to close on this note, food for thought for myself before everybody else. Even if one of us is impacted by what was said this evening and has to make one change in his or her life, inshallah, we've achieved. May Allah make this gathering a blessed gathering. We have spoken solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only to utter the truth inshallah. And believe me, if I have uttered words that may have sounded a little bit harsh, that is from me and from shaitan. The method used by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very calm and relaxed. But sometimes he raised his voice. When it was a very important issue to me, when Allah tells you and me, that a person who eats haram is similar to a person who is possessed in behavior, then that makes me worried. And when we read the verse, the problem is the rest of the ummah don't understand the Arabic language. And we sit and we read it. Do you know what Allah says in the Quran? Regarding abstaining from eating haram, Allah says, if you want to carry on eating that type of haram, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If you are not going to abstain from eating haram and from usury and interest and what have you, then you should know that war is announced against you by Allah and His Messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not do that to myself and yourselves. مَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.